It's gonna stop.
Hi, I'm Bob. How you doing?
Storm outside.
Oh, wow.
If you were 10 minutes earlier, you would have been
there. Right? I was actually here a half an hour earlier, but then I went back to the office and came back. At the worst time possible.
So much for the umbrella.
Not big enough, obviously.
I don't think that little towel is going to help either. Unless it's one of those sheds.
Job not get totally soaked when I gave
you. Bob didn't leave.
That was right, the problem.
Wow.
You gotta run between the raindrops, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Please, Kathy.
Chairperson Kimball.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bonkowski, Member Bagwell.
Here.
Member Erb.
Here.
Member Hastings.
Here.
Member Smolensky.
Here.
Member Zentino.
Here.
Ex officio Member Rosenberg.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Great, thank you. Second on the agenda is there, the chair may take items on the agenda out of order, which I have no desire to do or need. Is there any on the part of staff to move anything?
Not this time.
No, thanks. Number three, is there any disclosures on the board tonight for any item on the agenda? Seeing no nods or, okay, we're okay there. Fourth, this is an opportunity for public comments. For anybody who wishes to address the Campbell board, may approach the podium and speak. on any matter relevant to or within the authority of Campo, but we would ask that if it's on the agenda that they wait till that turn, but if they don't want to, they can still come up forward. Is anybody coming forward tonight? Seeing none under public comment. Next, we'll move to minutes for our August 9th meeting for Campo. Any discussion or a motion or changes?
I move to approve the minutes of August 9th, 2017, as presented.
Second.
Jim, any discussion? Anything else? Call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thank you. We'll move on to the agenda. 6A for possible action, approval limit amendment to the fiscal year 2017-2018. Unified Planning Work Program to move $30,000 from Task 4.3 Inventory and Update to Carson City ADA Transition Plan to Task 3.2 Maintain Pavement Management System. Lucia? Okay, thank you.
Lucia Maloney. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the previous pavement survey was conducted at the end of 2014. Staff went back and looked at that previous survey. And at that time, we surveyed 50% of our roadways, which was a single pass along the roadways. We looked at our current pavement condition and the interest in pavement in our town, and we determined that a second pass for 100% of the roadway on our arterials and collectors would be really beneficial for this survey. So we looked at some of the different tasks under the UPWP to see how we could find some extra money to accommodate that increased scope for the pavement survey. Under task 4.3, the inventory and update to the ADA transition plan. We had already contracted with a consultant to give us advice on how to update that ADA transition plan. And through those recommendations from that consultant, we were able to identify a prioritized set of updates to that transition plan. The moving of $30,000 from that transition plan over to the pavement survey will allow us to accommodate both the increased scope of the pavement survey as well as achieve the recommendations that the consultant gave us. So with that, staff are recommending an approval of the amendment to the UPWP.
Any questions?
So, welcome. Your first try. I'll try to be kind here. No, so what is the expected benefit that you think the city will derive from doing a second pass and using 100%? What information is it that you think will gain or will make changes from? You know, why go to 100% and spend the money at all then?
That's a great question. It's one I asked my staff when I first came in. You know, when you do a single pass, that data gets extrapolated to the full width of the roadway and goes into our pavement management system. We use a micropaver pavement management system. And we contract with Dr. Hodge at UNR, who gives us recommendations based on that software and the data in it. You know, if you only do half the roadway, you're only getting that much information and it's applying to the full roadway. By getting a double path on our collectors and our arterials, it allows us to get a more holistic understanding of that second side of the roadway. And with that, we can do more targeted pavement preservation techniques. Maybe we apply those pavement preservation options on maybe the other half. It's more comprehensive understanding of what's going on.
If I can just follow up on that, sure. Are you suggesting then potentially instead of assuming that you have to fix the entire road, we might be able to spread our dollars and only fix half roads? Am I kind of getting the perspective of why you want to do this?
Yeah, that's possible, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions? I had a question. When it comes to the bottom line on that, is it Campo that can give you approval to move any of those monies anywhere? Or does it have to go to NDOT, or is it strictly up to Campo once it's finished?
Campo would approve the amendment, and then I would send it along to NDOT.
So they're the final approval, but I would assume if you've justified it, you don't have to be of concern.
I don't think we've ever had an issue with an amendment from an MPO and UPWP. Yeah, it's really your program. We just check for eligibility, so if you're just moving from one program to another, we really wouldn't have an issue with, and same with Federal Highway Administration.
Okay. Great. Any other questions? Does anybody from the public wish to come forward? Nope. Seeing none, we bring it back for a motion or any more discussion? Oh, there we go. Thank you for making the motion.
I move to approve an amendment to the fiscal year 2017-2018 UPWP Unified Planning Work Program to move $30,000 from Task 4.3 Inventory and Update to Carson City ADA Transition Plan to Task 3.2 Maintain Pavement Management System.
Second. Got a second? Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. So I need to apologize. I'm remiss here. Lucia, I should have introduced at the beginning when I first was brought on the agenda, so I'm going to sneak it between items here and don't get in trouble. This is her first meeting, and I just took it for granted everybody knew, but that was a silly thing to do because they have money and probably haven't met you. So could you introduce yourself a little bit and a little history and tell us how excited you are to be in this really new position here?
Thanks, Mark. I'm Lucia, and I'm so very excited to be here. I came from Lake Tahoe. I was up at TRPA before coming down here. My background's in transportation. I grew up in the area, family all up and down the valley. I lived in Berkeley in the Bay Area where I got my undergraduate degree, then moved to Austin, Texas, got my master's in community planning, moved back here to raise a family. My husband's from here as well, so we're excited to be part of this team. During the transition between Patrick and I, there was a little bit of a gap. Our staff have done a really tremendous job carrying the workload during that gap, and just excited to continue the successes of the past, so thanks.
Yeah, Dirk was telling me he couldn't wait to put the stuff in his basket, in your basket.
And I will confirm that he did that.
Thank you. I'm sorry for my etiquette there for not introducing you. So we're back to item 6B for possible actions. Determine the selection of an application for fiscal year 2017 Federal Transit Administration 5310 grant to be submitted for funding in the Campo planning area.
Thank you, sir. So every year, Campo receives FTA funding, and this year we received it in two portions. This is the second, the remainder of the funding, so about 5/12. There's about $48,000 that's available to Campo, and Campo's allowed to distribute it to folks that are eligible, which in this case would include assisting seniors or individuals with disabilities. Now, we have noticed, we've put a notice in the paper requesting applications. Campo received one application, which was from Carson City RTC. Carson City RTC application is requesting funds for the use of operation. They're going to be using the funds to help operate the Jack Fixed Route Transit and Jack Assist, and both services are ADA compliant, so they qualify. The benefit to Carson City RTC in this case is that it only requires a 20% match versus your typical 50% match. So Campo is recommending approval of the application. That concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah. Dirk, in looking through the, and this may be petty, but you said that there was a time frame for the bidding process or for applications to come in for the bid, right? What was that time frame, just out of curiosity? Do you recall?
I believe it was a month.
Yes, it was 1 month, July 25th to August 25th.
Okay. And the reason I asked that is, and then looking through the application, and I don't know if it makes any difference, but maybe at the time that Carson City submitted that application, was Patrick still the contact person, or should that be changed on here showing Lucia?
It should definitely be changed, and that's something we can do. Thank you.
Is this the one that had the other party that was trying to put in for a bus last time that
yes.
They never submitted an official, maybe because of the upfront money part, or did you have discussions with them?
we did have discussion. There was RSVP, and they applied to help funding with the bus. And the part of the problem was that they didn't have enough upfront funding, but I think they also found an avenue with the state.
Oh. All right,
Chairman, if I may, I just want to clarify Member Smolensky's comment question. So if, in fact, any comments did get sent to Patrick Pittenger, both his email and his phone were forwarded. So anything that came in, we would have seen it. So it's not like anything got missed.
Oh, okay. All right, no more questions, I see. Call from the public. Anybody from the public wish to speak to this agenda item? Seeing none, bring it back for any more discussion or a motion, please.
Motion. I move to determine the selection of an application for a fiscal year 2017 Federal Transit Administration FTA 5310 grant to be submitted for funding in the Campo planning area.
Motion. I have a second.
Second.
Which one was it? Is that Mr. Erb? There we'll give him Mr. Erb. Thank you. Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. Moving right along. 6C. To determine the selection of an application for fiscal year 2017 Federal Transit Administration 5339 grant to be submitted for funding in Campo planning area. Dirk.
Thanks, sir. This is similar to the item previously. The changes or the difference is that this is for $43,000, and this funding can be used for purchase of buses or purchase of bus-related facilities. Again, we only had one applicant, which was Carson City RTC. Campo is recommending approval. And that concludes my comments. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Get pretty easy. Any more questions? Yeah. Anybody from the public wish to speak to this item on the agenda? Seeing none, we bring it back again for a motion or any more discussion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a move. I move to determine the selection of an application for fiscal year 2017 Federal Transit Administration FTA 5339 grant to be submitted for funding in the Campo planning area.
Second, Commissioner. Yes, discussion.
Just as a brief discussion point, and maybe the DA over there can comment in. I noticed on our motion it just says I move to determine the selection of the application. Should we on the record say the application submitted in the packet? I mean, should we be more specific to say we're approving the actual application? Just as a point of order.
You know, I think that the motion as written is probably sufficient. If you wanted to clarify it for, you know, as an additional point of order, you can certainly do that. But I think
I just did it on the record. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks. Well, just the more I read it, I thought maybe we should say which application we're determining. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Did I call for the public on this one? I did. Okay. I have a first and a sixth, so call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. No discourse here. 6D, information only. Information on the submittal of an application for Federal Transit Administration fiscal year 2017, section 5339B, discretionary funds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the announcement of the federal fiscal year 2017, section 5339B, discretionary grant funds, staff prepared and submitted an application on behalf of Campo. With the short turnaround time from the time of the announcement of the funding to the due date, didn't provide enough time to bring a draft before Campo and RTC for consideration. So this program is similar to the 5339 program that we just heard in the previous item. In that it allows funding for capital purchases of buses and bus-related facilities. The difference is that this pot of money is discretionary, it's competitive, as opposed to apportioned and formula-based. So the amount requested in the application was $477,480, It's requesting a federal share of 70%, which means a local match of 30%. Even though the program allows for 80%, typically, and even in our case up to 85%, but we requested a lower federal share to better position ourselves for award in this highly competitive grant. And just to give you an idea of how competitive it is, last year 61 projects and $211 million were awarded out of a total of 284 projects requested, totaling $1.64 billion. And then I'll also clarify the budgeting. So that during the development of the fiscal year 2018 transit budget, two buses were proposed and locked into that budget. One was to be procured through the standard, federal and match shares, and one was anticipated to be highly overmatched due to a limited federal funding budget and a relatively large local fund balance. But it was later determined that most of that local share was going to have to be allocated to the relocation of the JAC administrative office and bus yard. The result was we know that one bus will be delivered, scheduled for later this month, and then with award of 5339B funding, two more buses would be also purchased in fiscal year 2018, which leaves one technically unbudgeted, but there are enough local funds left in the transit fund to cover the local match requirement. And then finally, we would seek approval from RTC before acceptance of awards, since they'll be providing the match side of things. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions? So how do you budget for these types of grants when you need a slug of money to sit somewhere? But you kind of stick it up on a shelf and hope that you get it?
Well, fortunately, with some strategic planning in previous years, we were well positioned to take advantage of an opportunity like this. You don't necessarily know when they'll come around, so we didn't I guess set out to stick money on a shelf for this grant opportunity, but fortunately we were positioned to access it.
When you say we, RTC is what you're saying when you say we?
Yes.
So
staff and, yeah.
So when you guys, you budget annually, so it's just worked out that there was this sum of money that was at the end of the season that was in a position for you to be able to take advantage, which is really smart budgeting.
Correct. Yes.
So you don't lose opportunities because you spend every penny that you have. So sometimes it's just kind of some information people need to know that by savings in some place can actually gain you a lot of money. So it wasn't, you weren't spending the funds responsibly, you were more responsible by keeping them for opportunities sometimes.
Correct.
Right? So that's, does that make sense? I might have muddied that up. I think it makes sense.
Well, can I clarify? Because I just want to make sure in my mind, is it because we actually budgeted and did not purchase all the allocated products, and therefore more ending fund balance was available to move forward, right? We didn't end up getting all the buses.
Well, for
one bus short, right?
Well, for fiscal year 18, it's still in fiscal year 17 when we were looking at trying to set up the fiscal year 18 budget. There was projected to be a relatively sizable fund balance in the transit fund. So that money was initially planned to go towards the purchase of an additional bus, but we soon realized that it needed to go towards the relocation of JAC facilities. So.
I'm clear.
So we would have spent it.
Well, you're
that's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I may add, there's some pretty significant federal legislation that's coming down related to state of good repair of our transit assets. Should we be awarded this grant? It's a really good thing for us. We have some really old buses that are in need of repair that are very expensive to maintain on a per mile basis. So I would just ask that you all keep your fingers crossed.
We'll have a group gathering before. And,
appreciate
yeah.
that.
That's when do you find out?
It's supposed to be later this fall or early winter.
Great. Well, hopefully we don't hear that some of the funds are being squeezed out from budget, so let's hang on to that. All right, so that was information only. Does anybody from the audience want to speak to that item? Seeing none, we bring it back. It was information only, so 6D. Where are we at here? 6E, information again only. Information on amendment to the Nevada Unified Certification Program Agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The agreement between the member agencies of the Nevada Unified Certification Program is being amended. The NUCP was created as part of a requirement of Federal Transportation Fund recipients to create a unified certification program as part of the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program in their state. And the UCP reviews and certifies applicants for the DVE program. The agreement was amended to incorporate some minor administrative updates, the removal of some language, the inclusion of some language on filling officer vacancies, and some language on on-site certification reviews. The proposed changes were sent to the DA's office for review, and their comments were incorporated into the amendment, the finalized version. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions? So how does Campo fit into this agreement versus RTC?
The answer is that since we receive FTA funds, we're kind of required to be a part of it. There's a DBE requirement, Disadvantaged Business Enterprise, and so this is kind of how we certify firms within the Campo region to become a DBE.
Okay, that's all. There's some clarity there. See how that how it connects.
So our transportation manager is the one of the committee members.
She's a signature on it, I saw.
Correct. And that's why the agreement itself doesn't come to this board for approval, because it's just you're a member. And so these 7 members voted and changed to comply with federal law for any changes that happen.
That's why there's no action. Okay, so we move on to item 7, internal communications administrative matters. Future agenda items, do you have anything?
We have 3 items on the schedule to come to you in October. 2 transit items and a roadway item. The roadway item, now that you all approved that UPWP amendment, staff are going to move forward with the bidding and execution of a contract, or preparation of a contract for that pavement survey. And so you can expect that the pavement survey contract will come to you next month. On the transit side, we're in the process of initiating a transit survey. We conduct the survey regularly. So we'll bring that to you as an informational item next month to give the opportunity for input on that survey and just make you aware of it. And then also we are submitting our annual NTD data, the National Transit Database data, so we'll bring that item to you as well.
Great, thank you. Is there any board comments? Item 8, start on the right, Ms. Sandra.
I wanted to let you know we are currently reviewing proposals for a study we're looking at for commuting patterns to the Tri-Center. Wow. It covers, I believe, 5 counties. Really, you know, focus on transit options, but also looking at kind of what are the various options we have for commuting patterns where do we think people are living and coming from. So we've been talking about this for a couple of years. We finally have got an RFP out and have staff to look at it, so we're excited about that. We also just got our SPR approved. That's the State Planning and Research Program, similar to your UPWP. Next year, that typically includes kind of our ongoing planning activities at NDOT. We've been doing a lot of work to kind of prioritize studies and things like that. So we've added an update to the 395 Southern Sierra Corridor study in Douglas County. I'm not sure what the date of that getting started on. And then we're talking about next year actually doing a call for studies, planning activities from NDOT. We want to be a better partner with the other agencies. So it's a limited amount of money, but we want to kind of open it up and see what studies people are requesting. And then on a personal note, in case you couldn't tell, I'm expecting a child at the end of October. I hope to make it to next month's board meeting, but I'll be out for a couple months, and Mark Costa and Kevin Berry will be sitting in for me.
Yeah, make it at least a couple hours after the meeting in October.
My due date's October 28th, okay. So I'm hopeful that I'll make it, but just in case.
I'm curious, and about every day I see there's accidents somewhere out near the Tri-Center where people are getting blocked on 80. They must be living in out there. So I was hoping that somebody's going to get on the wagon to start dealing with that issue eventually. So
We're also looking at, we're taking a couple different approaches. The planning study is just that, kind of looking at that homes, jobs, balance, what are the options. At the same time, we're looking at safety improvements all along that corridor as part of a traffic study we're doing, and looking at interchange improvements there. So those are all kind of in the study scoping phase, but we are aware of that. We're trying to see what we can do. And, you know, we're happy that USA Parkway is open all the way through now. So hopefully that...
Well, that's where Highway 50 comes into play. Is Highway 50 part of the transit part, too?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So are there shoulders on that new highway for bikes? The picture they showed on TV didn't show any shoulders.
There's shoulders.
But it was like, they weren't breakdown lanes like federal
standards. It's not like bike lanes, right? It is, I mean, it's
not. It'd be a great winter place. Sorry, I'm distracted.
It's a parkway, it's not a freeway.
That's right.
But we are looking at also improvements on the section of roadway that we acquired that we didn't build. So it's going to be, that area is going to be an ongoing process.
All right, sorry. John, you're up, sir. Nothing for me. Laurie's nothing. Well, where we're at here. Board comments done. So last chance for public, if there's anybody wanting to come up to the mic and make any comments on this wonderful night. Seeing none, bring it back for adjournment after. So I announced the next meeting scheduled for Wednesday, October 11th at 4:30. Now I'm looking for a motion for adjournment. Everything, we're adjourned. We'll be back in session in 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Let's make it five for RTC. Thank you.
Moving north, so
I think this winter is a good test for everybody. So.
sticking in my head.
Yeah, print.
Yeah, it's had the
dealings.
I'm
going to
go.
I can't wait to get it. You
deserve it.
Call the Carson City Regional Transportation Meeting Commission to order. It is 5:05 Wednesday, September 13th. Kathy, may we have a roll call?
Chairperson Bonkowski, Vice Chairperson Smolinski.
Here.
Commissioner Badwell.
Here.
Mr. Kimbrough.
Here.
Mr. Zampino.
Here.
Or Ms. President.
Thank you. Agenda management notice. The chair may take items out of order. If she so desires, or remove any item. Does staff have any wish to move things around?
No, sir.
Any disclosures from board members? Okay. And we're now up to number four, public comment. Is there anybody out in the audience that wishes to address the commission on any matter concerning RTC, either on or off the agenda? Seeing none, we're going to keep moving on. Number five, approval of minutes. Have all commissioners had an opportunity to review? Are there any additions, corrections, or deletions?
Move to approve.
Just a change, it would be signed by the vice chair instead of the chair.
Okay.
Other than that, I second it.
Motion has been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry on. Okay, we are going to go to 6A, which is information. Information on the administrative revision to the JAC Assist ADA Complementary Paratransit Policies and Procedures document. Is this for you, Grant?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. The JAC Assist ADA Complementary Paratransit Policies and Procedures document is being revised to define and formalize subscription service, establish impacts to subscription service for individuals facing suspension of ridership, and to form a waiting list for this service. This subscription service is not required by Americans with Disabilities Act as part of complementary paratransit service, but to better serve its customers, JAC and JAC Assist have determined that the use of subscription service is useful and necessary, and the other reason for the update is JAC Assist was experiencing some unprecedented demand. Ridership went up 24% from the previous fiscal year, and it's up 100% since 2012, fiscal year 2012. JAC Assist was finding that the inability of its passengers to consistently book their desired travel times, was becoming an issue. So this would help to free up some of those potential trips. We do see JAC and JAC Assist does experience quite a bit of cancellations, no shows, late cancellations. So those trips are booked. They're in the system. They're taking up time from other potential folks that would like to book that time. If it's a no-show or a late cancel, the bus is already out there at their residence trying to pick them up when they didn't want the ride. So that presents an issue, and we felt we addressed it here in the policy. Notice will be passed out to passengers. Notice of the policy changes will be posted on the JAC website and on JAC Assist buses. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Anybody have any questions or comments?
So can you tell me, when you say there was a 24% increase and things like that, but 24%, if you only have 10 people, is not much. So how many currently are on the subscription service?
Sure. The most recent figure that we had the subscription service trips taking up about 80% of total rides, and that is another issue because the regulation on that is you should try to stay below 50%. So that'll help us get in that threshold as well.
So just for clarification, because I think it's important if anyone's listening to understand what the difference is. So a subscription service would be something like, I have to go to the doctor twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday, 9 a.m. or whatever, and I can apply to have you come pick me up at the door for that service, right? Versus the bus stops that are on a fixed route with times. So subscription is door to door. I need an ADA qualifying.
No, you had that partially right. The definition of subscription service is those trips that are considered as being consistent and recurring, least twice per week with the same origin and or destination, where continuation will extend over a period of at least 90 days. Now, subscription service only applies to the Jack Assist paratransit service. You know, this is the dial-a-ride service that you call, and they come pick you up at your door and take you to the door of your destination. So a non-subscription trip in this service would be someone who just randomly calls. You know, the subscription is kind of a standing order. Hey, I go to the doctor every Monday at 9 a.m. Instead of having to call every week to book that same ride over and over again, you can just call once, put it in the system, and it's there. You'll know it'll be there. Once you book a subscription trip, you don't have to take any further action. You can just know that the vehicle will show up for you every time that you need it.
And so then what you were saying is, of the door-to-door service, 80% was in the subscription side.
Correct. That's correct.
But how many are on Jack Assist? Is that 75 clients, 80 clients?
There's over 500 clients in the system.
Overall.
And the service does about 25,000 trips per year.
And I've got a quick question, and it was kind of on the same lines as Commissioner Bagwell. And it says right here, in order to qualify for a subscription trip, the same ride must be taken at the same time at least twice a week for at least 90 days. So if you know that you're going to have a reoccurring appointment twice a week, and it's not, those appointments aren't going to last for 90 days, then you cannot sign up for the subscription service, but you could call, like you said, the dial-a-ride. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
This is a big document to give somebody with a lot of rules. What did you change in here? You can't tell what you changed versus what was there. And you don't have to tell me, but it would have helped for me to understand.
Sure.
But it's information only, so I know it's not... We're not voting on it, but go ahead, Jeremy.
Sure, the subscription service section was added, that whole section that's on page 9. And then there's the updates to the suspension policies. There's two different versions, the Jack Assist no-show and late cancellation policy, page 14. It's the, I guess you would call it, second sub-bullet on that page 14. And then once again on the Jack Assist excessive cancellation policy on page 15.
So I see that if there's a problem, there's actually a committee of people who are they RTC staff that sit on this committee that for review of anything that anybody had a concern with. Is that how that works?
Correct. And yes, it's staff. Yes.
So with these new rules, essentially, that's their forum. They have a concern. They
correct.
Go to that.
Yes.
So
yes, they can appeal a decision, yes.
So I totally understand why you would do it. It's just it's really hard to hand somebody this when they're just trying to get to the doctor. So I hope how you put this out to them hopefully comes in a friendly way instead of a disciplinary way. You know what I mean? That's really hard sometimes that people assume new rules. We're coming down on them versus what you're really doing is trying to help everybody else and take care of a few problems. So hopefully it goes out in a friendly way with a happy smile face telling them the rules on the bus or something like that.
Sure, no one will be suspended per the new policy without proper warning.
That just a chance to inform them that, you know, we're just being stricter because there's more use and a real need for everybody to behave and follow the rules. So that's cool. Thank you. So it's informational only, so we're okay. Thanks, Grant.
Any other questions or comments from? Any other questions or comments from commissioners? Okay. Thank you, Graham. Moving forward, 6B, for possible action to determine that Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive. Oh, I got to back up. Was there any public comment? Never mind.
can't back up, sorry.
Okay. To determine that Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1718-060 Freeway Multi-Use Path Project for a base bid of $945,007, Schedules A and B, plus a contingency amount of up to $72,204 for a total not to exceed amount of $1,017,211. And I believe, Lucia, you're going to take this?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the Freeway Multi-Use Path Project was identified as a priority project for the city several years ago. The project consists of approximately 5,700 linear feet of multi-use path, both concrete and asphalt concrete, including drainage systems, fencing, erosion control, revegetation, and other related improvements. This project also includes work on Airport Road to mill and overlay, there's sidewalk, curb and gutter improvements, and most importantly, these drainage improvements and other related improvements. Two federal grants were applied for these projects, which really go hand in hand. We're not talking about a separate roadway project and a separate path project. They're adjacent to each other, and those curb and gutter and drainage improvements complement each other. They're listed as two separate projects because it's two separate federal grant funding pots, if you will. The transportation, the TAP funds, Transportation Alternatives Program, there you go, was awarded for the path, and that's really limited funding. It can really only be used for bicycle and pedestrian improvements. We were awarded a TAP grant in the amount of $650,000. And again, that's for the path, and that's Schedule A in the staff report. We also were awarded STBG, which is Surface Transportation Block Grant funding, for the roadway portion, and that's Schedule B in the staff report. And that grant award was for just under $309,000. So in total, we're talking over $950,000 in federal funding. And that federal funding, of course, requires a 5% match, which was brought to you back in March of this year. These projects have been designed, and today you're being asked to determine that Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 388 for a total not to exceed amount of $1,017,211. Notice to contractors was published on August 4th. Three bids were received and they were opened on August 29th. And the bid amounts are included in the staff report. It's important to note that all bids received significantly exceeded the engineer's estimate for that project. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, that the engineer's estimates are completed back several years ago when we're going after those federal grant funds. And during that time, construction costs have increased dramatically, as have, you know, continued staff costs just in general, and other related testing and management of the projects. That said, RTC staff is recommending executing the contract for Schedules A and B only. The original bid went out with a Schedule A, which was the path, Schedule B, which was that roadway portion, and there was also a Schedule C, which was some additional additive alternates. Staff are recommending not proceeding with those additional portions to try to keep those costs down. And so including a roughly 7% contingency amount of $72,000 and change, the total not to exceed amount would be $1,017,211. The 5% local match did go to RTC this past March, but due to the bids coming in above the estimates, the projects and staff are requesting an additional $155,000 that's requested to be funded by RTC. Now, when I first looked at this, I sat down with staff and I said, you know, what are we going to do? What are we talking about here? What are our options? So let's talk about options. So the first option is what staff is recommending to execute this contract with SNC Construction. They've done work for the city before. They are the lowest responsive and responsible bidder for Schedules A and B. And they can come in, should we execute the contract today, we could begin construction, and the project's expected to be completed this calendar year, should weather permit us to do so. What are our other options? The second option would be to say that these bids are too high, but we could rebid in the spring. The federal funds that we have, they would not expire. However, staff looked at that alternative. It's likely that the bids that would come in the spring may be from the same pool of bidders. You know, we generally see very similar bidders. But also, you know, we looked back to Hurricane Katrina, and back then it's reported that asphalt prices went up 15% to 20%. And so we have every reason to believe that costs aren't going to go down in the spring. It's highly likely that they could even go up. So keeping that in mind, it may be beneficial to lock in the prices now. A third option would be to scrap the project altogether. It's too expensive, and what about other projects? The downside to this is that some of that federal money has already been expended on the design of this project. And so RTC would be on the hook should we go that option of reimbursing those federal dollars that have already been spent. So for those reasons, staff are recommending executing the contract with S&C and proceeding through construction, which can be completed really quickly. There is a table included in your staff report about these financial impacts. I'm happy to go through them with you if you have some more detailed questions, but I'll turn it over to you to let you lead what you'd like to do with that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Lucia. Is there any questions, comments from commissioners?
So if I can just kind of walk through, one of the points you said is that these were engineer bid several years ago. So can you walk me through the process of, do we not update the engineer's estimate before we actually submit them to the street for bid? Because I'm concerned that I don't want to see this as a pattern, and I'm making this decision without all the other activities that we have to do. And if we were to grant this extra 155, I don't want to make the decision in a vacuum, if that makes sense. And then I say, oops, we should have saved the money to do project Y that's of higher priority.
It does, and our city engineer is here as well to answer some of these, so we may tag team some of these answers. I'll let Dan lead this one.
On this project, we have adjusted it as we've designed, pulling pieces out, adding pieces in, and adjusting that design as we've gone and refining our estimate. So it does get refreshed before it goes out to bid. The nature of construction prices right now has been very variable. I mean, prices have been increasing what we've seen. Obviously, these prices are noted, and obviously for future projects, you know, this will be considered in our database to come up with future pricing in regards to that. So.
And if I may, how much is the design dollars that have already been spent then on the project? So before we look at alternatives, you know, we've spent $50,000, $100,000?
We've expended roughly $60,000.
So if we're going to take 100 and, so the project was off about 198,000, because some you'll get 155 from RTC. Does that put any of our other projects in danger that we have budgeted? I think that's the most important thing for us to know is, I just want to make sure none of our other projects are in danger.
There was, if you remember when we outlined it, and they can jump in, I'm talking very high level, but we set in forward a number of projects, safety improvements, PED projects, that sort of thing, but there was a chunk of money that we wanted to save and hold, and so that anything that was left over, we could possibly do a project in the spring when the fiscal year is wrapping up. Plus, we would have a better idea of exactly where the gas tax number is, because we don't get that information 3 months delay, right? So there was a chunk of money that was left. If I remember right, it was right around $400,000. That was unencumbered for a specific project, so this would be hitting that. And did I say that right?
That's correct. It was 417.
We had 417 in undesignated projects. Okay.
Any other commissioner comments?
A couple. Another alternative that maybe, and I'm speaking from some experience, but. Like you just said, you might the one alternative was to stop this project, which puts money back into RTC. And sometimes I thought you could go to RTC and ask for monies for like your anything that dealt with bike or ped on alternate schedule C. See if there's any more money, which you'd still have to match, but because it isn't a lot of money left in C, it looks like. So is that opportunity a reality, do you know, to go after funds for projects that other municipalities or counties said I can't do this, and it sits in RTC? I thought Janice would, at State Parks, if there was money left over, there's opportunities for more money on projects sometimes.
That's correct. And the additive alternates for Schedule C, they're essentially value-add pieces. I should know more about them, but we are keeping them in mind, and it's something that we can continue to do at a later date. As I understand, those pieces were going to be implemented at the tail end of construction, so it's something that we could do in the future should we find additional funds.
Yeah, and I think just, I mean, the important thing to consider, too, is the project can stand alone by itself, with obviously without the additive alternate. And so that's something that down the road, yeah, like Lucius said, once the funds become available, we can pretty easily implement that on and have that connectivity.
Yeah, it would be a sad story to see this project disappear when there's been a lot of people and excitement about this for a long time, actually. So, yeah, I'm glad that you guys were able to work this out and the bids came reasonable enough for it to happen. Because I've heard other horror stories where the bids have been so high that things aren't happening sometimes.
That's correct, and we also, you know, if you look at the total bid amounts from the different bidders, they were relatively similar. So, you know, we felt comfortable that this is really the market rate right now, and this is, unfortunately, it is what it is.
I'd just like to clarify so that I'm clear on what Mark was just asking. The bid alternate C is that contractor's bid if we include it in this contract. The recommendation is we're not including bid alternate C. So if money became available, let's say we got to the end towards spring and our undesignated account now was $129,000, it doesn't mean that this vendor will still honor add alternate C at $129,000 because they'll have to remobilize instead of tacking it on. I just, again, want to not send the public off into thinking, oh, okay, we just have to really come up with $129,000 because that's not, I would assume they'd rebid.
I appreciate the clarification. Yes, by going with the staff recommendation today, should we decide to go with Schedule C in the future, it would need to be rebid.
Right. Okay, thank you.
I do have one question. I just spent most of the afternoon trying to figure this out. And I'm pretty good in math. But in most times when we see contracts being awarded, there's a specific contingency percentage. Typically, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 10%, correct? Can you tell me how, out of $945,000, the contingency is $72,000. Is that, can you tell me how that was figured?
Yes, yeah, so I can go ahead and answer that. You're right that for typical projects, you know, where you have a lot of subsurface utilities, those types of nature of projects, 10% is definitely the number we would use. I think for this project, it's a little unique because it is primarily a path with not a lot of subsurface stuff going on, which a lot of times that's where you eat up a lot of that contingency if you have it. So we felt comfortable with the 7% given the nature of the project, if that answers your question.
And we have on occasion, I know on the animal shelter, we ratcheted that one down to 8% at the board level and only spent 5%. So I think we have history on some project types to be able to now kind of ratchet down the authority. So if it exceeds it, it just means it has to come back and ask for an actual contract amendment if it actually comes in higher. But okay, thank you.
And it should be noted if we don't spend it, and we hope we won't, then that additional money goes back into the RTC money that we're asking, you know, so could make that more whole.
Any other further questions or comments from commissioners? Anybody in the public wish to comment? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move to determine Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1718-060 Freeway Multi-Use Path Project for a base bid of $945,007, Schedules A and B, plus a contingency amount of up to $72,204 for a total not to exceed amount of $1,017,211.
Second. There's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item 6C, for possible action, to approve Cooperative Agreement P502-17-063 between the Carson City RTC and Nevada Department of Transportation for the I-580 Multi-Use Path Project, and to authorize the Transportation Manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions or a change in the value of funding up to 10% of the initial funding amount. And Dirk, is this yours?
Thank you, Chair. So this is the typical agreement between Carson City RTC and NDOT. This was a grant award back in February 2017, received an award for the construction of a multi-use path. That path is from Colorado Street north to the linear ditch, which is about 1,000 or so yards north of Fairview. So this agreement allows Carson City RTC to seek reimbursement for costs related to design and the construction of the project. It's a 95% federally funded project, which means the 5% local match is about $37,500. Design is going to start in late fall or winter, and then we're anticipating a construction date of the summer of 2019. So this is a standard contract that we've dealt with before. So that concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dirk. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioner? Any from the general public? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
So, I move to approve Cooperative Agreement P502-17-063 between the Carson City RTC and the Nevada Department of Transportation for the I-580 Multi-Use Path Project, and to authorize the Transportation Manager to sign future amendments to this agreement regarding time extensions or a change in the value of funding up to 10% of the initial funding amount.
There's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. Motion passed. Item 6D, for possible action, to approve the submission of two recreational trail program grant applications by the Public Works Department for a South Carson Street multi-use path and for rehabilitation improvements on the linear ditch multi-use path. Dirk?
Thank you, Chair. Staff's requesting permission to submit two grant applications to the Recreational Trail Program. So this is a state program, but it is for federal funds. So the first application has to do with the construction of a shared use path from Appian Way to Clearview. There's an project estimated cost of $316,000. And the benefit of this project is that it's going to connect the existing NDOT multi-use path that recently got constructed with improvements with the highway, and it's going to extend that path all the way to Clearview, which is to connect that path to a signalized intersection to allow for the crossing. The match does require a 20% local match. However, to make this competitive, staff is proposing to use infrastructure funding, which is going to be applied to the South Carson Street corridor regardless. And the local match raises from 20% to 35%. There's only about $1.3 million in the pot at state that the program has to deal out, and that's to the whole state of Nevada. So, and these improvements would reduce the cost that are associated with the South Carson Street corridor plan, which will connect. So this path is going to allow for the connection to the shared use path that will go from Clearview all the way to Fairview. That's the first project. The second application has to do with rehabilitation of an existing multi-use path. So the existing path starts on Roop Street. It goes behind Governor's Field. It crosses Solomon, goes out to the freeway, under the freeway, and the portion that's going to be rehabilitated is near the intersection of Airport and 5th Street. So what this project would include is going to include crack filling, and it's going to include a slurry seal, which is going to preserve that path. Additionally, this is going to install an enhanced pedestrian crossing at Solomon Road, which is right next to the Fremont Elementary School. So we consider that to be a safety improvement. So the local match, which in this case is going to be 20%, the minimum required, would come out of the safety improvement budget under RTC. So that's the local match is about $19,000, and the cost of the project is $96,000. So, and there are maps in the packet that show where the two projects are, and it gives a little bit more additional information. And so the reason why we wanted to kind of take this to the RTC without having the full application is that the applications are due in mid-October, and we didn't want to be put in a pinch of waiting until October RTC, getting approval, and then finalizing the whole grant. So that concludes my comments. There is another grant that's being submitted by Parks and Recs, and that's for the rehabilitation of a path in Long Ranch Estates. So they're going to be using some of their funding for the local match, but that's going to be for the rehabilitation of the shared use path in that subdivision. So there's going to be three grants being submitted from Carson City. So that concludes my comments. I would answer your questions.
Thank you, Dirk. Are there any comments or questions from commissioners?
Okay, so on the South Carson Street project, the objective would be to use the infrastructure fund and for the match portion. Does this particular commission have authority over expenditures from the infrastructure fund?
Probably not.
Mind that we're working to recommend submitting a grant. I just want to make sure procedurally that it doesn't miss a grant step since it's using infrastructure dollars.
We'll also bring it to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. I just, thank you.
It's a good idea.
Thought better cover that there. And then on the project for the linear ditch, I'm assuming that there's absolutely no impact with the LOMPA project because that's all in the same area. So there's no trigger mechanisms or anything that occur in the LOMPA project that would require us to tear any of this work up, or we're going to put a light or a crosswalk in a different location. Again, I don't want to waste any resource that if in a year from now we're just going to be we're going to move the crosswalk all the way down the other way, anything like that.
Thank you. Good question. This will not be ripped up with the LOMPA project.
Any other questions for Dirk?
sat down and made these two grants, and then the Parks did one. What system did you guys use? When I say you guys, I'm sorry, the staff use to set priorities for the other projects might be need to be done in the city. And how did this become the two that you picked?
So for the linear the rehabilitation project, Parks actually came to us saying that this is a path that needed rehab, and so we looked at what we could offer, and what we came up with was a local match, and so that's where we identified, you know, Solomon Road is a major roadway. It's four lanes. There's an elementary school. We do have safety funds available, and we thought that this would be a good way to stretch our funding and kind of help out, you know, improve the situation on Solomon Road and also preserve the path. And then the second one really had to do with the fact that we know that the South Carson Street project is moving forward. We had the conceptual design plan that was presented and accepted by the ROTC. We're moving into design, and this was a way to, again, leverage more funds. The infrastructure funds, you know, there's about $1 million that are set aside for this project, so it's kind of using those funds. So we just thought it would be a good match, and we did meet with the grant coordinator, and she kind of gave us thumbs up as in these are good grants, and so we are hopeful.
Just another general question. When will we have traffic counts to find out what has actually happened because of the freeway? So that we know we're moving in the right direction on all of this, that everything was as anticipated, it's better than anticipated, fewer cars. Anyway, yeah, when will we have some hard data?
We've waited, staff has discussed it, and we're kind of strategically waiting until September. And thought is, you got school in session, freeway's open, it's been open for a little bit. And that does have count stations on South Carson Street, so we're going to be relying on that data. And sometimes that does take some time to come in, but we'll be comparing traffic counts on South Carson Street from currently to, you know, with historical data. So we'll be able to see that. And if there are issues, we can always do some additional studying.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
One more. It was a follow-up, actually. So I'm the linear pathway. I use that as a wonderful pathway, but it ends up on, is it Curry that the post office is on? I should know that. Roop. That pathway ends in a very dangerous spot. It just ends up on the sidewalk. You go on, you turn left on the sidewalk, you can't get into the park. And to me, that was always a major concern because you took public their kids. I took my grandkids there. One of them went off the curb into the lane of travel because he fell over the curb. So the pathway kind of ends there. So I would hope that someday in the future you can get on the list so that Lanyon Park doesn't just end on that sidewalk, or it's not encouraged, or let people get in the governor's field there some way so they're not dumped right out on the street without any crossing, without any bicycle amenities or nothing. You're just dumped right there. So I was disappointed that I didn't see that as part of it to do something, review that, and figure out, engineer, and figure out how to solve that mess. Because that's a really neat facility for families in all levels of use to get out, and plus a connector for that part of town to downtown, too. So that's just a point to be made maybe in the future or some way to visit that in some other opportunity.
I would just say it's anecdotal evidence like that is really helpful for staff when we have users firsthand. So we can go back. The grant application hasn't been written, so we can go back and look and see what the cost of doing that would be and how it might impact the cost or whether that could be worked in.
Working with Parks with Governor Field somehow, some way to end that so they're not dumping people out on a sidewalk that's got a fence on one side and then this pretty serious traffic speeds on the other side of it. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other further comments, questions? Anybody in the general public wish to address this item? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the submission of two Rec Trail Program grant applications by the Public Works Department for South Carson Street multi-use paths and for rehabilitation improvements on the linear ditch multi-use path.
Been a motion that's been seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Oh, we're almost done. Okay, item 6E for possible action, to appoint the transportation manager to serve on the Tahoe Transportation District Board of Directors as an alternate to Brad Bunkowski, RTC Chair. Lucia?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So historically, Patrick Pittenger, the former transportation manager, did serve on this TTD Board of Directors. Mr. Mark Kimbrough was appointed by this board to serve on that TTD board in August of 2014. He's served on that board since then. Mr. Kimbrough, after speaking with Mr. Bonkowski, talked to me, considering that I was up in Tahoe before I assumed this role here in Carson City, and that other transportation managers in the region sit on that board. We felt that it was a good opportunity for me to build on those relationships and with those nearby transit providers, and ensure ongoing and enhance both the interregional transit services and other transportation opportunities for Carson City. Thanks.
Any questions or comments?
No, actually, that wasn't the goal, actually. Oh. There, I've spent like 30 years in the basin doing work, so it helps with the history to work with them. And they're doing some projects that have been on the planning since I was there in the 80s. That's how long it takes to get big projects done in the basin. So I really enjoyed my time there, but it really would be an advantage to Carson City to have the transportation manager, because that's what level. I'm the only person that was a layperson. Well, not really a layperson, but I wasn't a professional. So, but I had the experience. So it would really help, I think, Carson City to play a role with this, because they have been moving light speed on transportation issues, and the basin it's one of the highest priorities now is transportation. So it wouldn't hurt for Carson City to be a part of that, even though we're a tiny part of that. We got one of the best pieces of highway on it, though. 28 is one of the nicest sections. So I did it with the fact that, yes, it doesn't bother me to one Friday a month, and all their agendas are over 400 pages long. That's not untrue almost either. So it's a heck of a learning experience, and it's a part of what's going on in the country. Plus, you'll hear things that are going on in the country, people who are going back in D.C., those efforts being taken, you're going to hear stuff about what's really going on back east with how transportation's faring with that stuff. So it's really kind of a good board to be on, and Lucia would be an excellent person to be on.
Any other comments or questions? Any public comment on this? I hear the train coming. I'll entertain a motion.
I move to appoint the transportation manager to serve on the Tahoe Transportation District Board of Directors as an alternate to Brad Bonkowski, RTC Chair.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Just another feather in your cap. Okay. Number seven, internal communications and administrative matters. 7A, street operations activity report. Who is this talking? Who's taking this one? Okay.
I'll take it, Mr. Chair. The street operations and activity report should look familiar to you. The major operations recently continue to be the crack seal operations. Since last meeting, we did receive a request to also include the year-to-date totals, so you'll see that on there on the right. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I do have one. I know, I remember as I was looking through this, I know it was discussed at the last meeting to get year to date, but in just kind of scanning through real quick, the year to date is the same as the July activities. So is it possible, you know, in your spare time, maybe by the next meeting when we get this, that we could have the other 7 months added to the year-to-date?
You're very astute, Mr. Chair. We conveniently did fiscal year-to-date, but we can update that to calendar year-to-date as well.
Thank you. Any other questions from commissioners on this? How about 7B, project status report?
That's me again. You may get sick of me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll run through these. A lot of these you've seen before. I'll start with the Blue Line ADA sidewalk improvements. Even since this staff report was put out, the punch list items that the contractor was finishing have indeed been finished. So staff have begun project closeout. So activities on that project have been completed, and that you'll see that one get off your list in the next meeting. The Carson City Freeway multi-use path, this is the one that we just presented and approved. So work construction can begin immediately, and we're expected to complete this calendar year or early next, depending on weather. The Sierra Vista Lane reconstruction project. This one we did receive the appraisal back, which was $4,500. You can expect RTC in the next agenda item when we talk about future agenda items. The right-of-way acquisition will come to you next month, which is the next step in this project. Moving on, the Silver Sage Drive reconstruction project. This one is the STBG funding, Surface Transportation Block Grant. This project's going as planned. We're submitting 60% design to NDOT. We began our micro seal projects. If you remember, for our pavement management, we're really focusing on our arterials and our collectors. All of our micro seal projects, we have six of them, are in this packet. I won't go into detail, but we started them all on September 11th. So if you have any questions on any specific ones, we can answer those. After the micro seals within the packet, there's three slurry seal projects. Those on Airport Road, Stewart, and William Street. Those also started this week. We're getting going on those. Road closure information is available in the weekly road closure reports that Mr. Goring sends out. So keep an eye out for those. And if you have any questions or you receive any comments or concerns, feel free to pass them on to me. Next is the CDBG North Carson Street improvements. 100% design has been completed. Depending on weather, construction could go into next spring, but that one is moving forward as well. Battery backup improvements. We do a good job of installing battery backups on our signals. There's 12 signalized intersections that we're working on related to this project, and those are going as planned. The South Carson Street bicycle and pedestrian improvements. RTC did award for the survey last month with Loomis, so that's this project. Survey work has begun. And in response to some feedback and some ongoing efforts to try to find and pool some additional funding for South Carson Street, that survey work is going all the way up to 5th Street is where that is happening. So just so you're aware. And then the last one, the Carson City Freeway Multi-Use Path. We just signed the agreement here, so we'll start design on that now. Do you have any questions on any of those?
Mark?
On the South Carson, are we done with the plans for what we're going to do in South Carson so we'll know where the bike facilities are going? Is that done?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, I didn't think so. So how do we survey for a pathway that if we're not quite sure where it might end up?
For the South Carson Street,
yeah.
We are going to be staying with an existing curb. And so we do have some conceptual plans. And so that's what we're surveying that corridor, and we know about where the path is. Are you asking about the path that was discussed earlier?
No, in the South Carson, the pedestrian improvements that was discussed earlier.
Yeah, so we're still working out the exact design
for
this project. We're surveying it, and then once we survey it, we'll be able to.
So you'll know. So you're just doing right away, irregardless of it being a bicycle, maybe even.
That's correct. Yeah. It's a topographical survey. It's just to gather all the what's out there now.
Okay, so it wasn't. I was thinking it was just for the bike path. I thought, well, how did you? Okay, I got a picture of that. So, and then just. My education reminder is a micro seal what I call a chip seal? No, right? Isn't that what Patrick's told me like 10 times now, I think?
Chip seal is a little beefier than micro sill. So it's different in a lot, and it's a little different.
So what was the, where the church is at, the Catholic Church?
Wampa.
What was that? Was that the slurry seal or was that a micro seal?
I believe that was a cape seal.
That's a different seal.
Which is a chip seal and a micro seal.
Combo platter.
Okay, so maybe after 20 years on this, I'll figure this out.
Okay, any other questions for Lucia?
Just in general question, kind of going with what I asked earlier, is there a point on a future one when we're going to get the results of the pedestrian counts? Remember, we did some specialized counters. So when do we expect to see some results from those?
We can absolutely bring those to you. We're getting the data in now. I'd like to get, you know, a good set of data so we can get some trending to probably in the next couple months.
Future agenda items.
Future agenda items coming at you, Mr. Chair. Right now for October, we really only have that right-of-way acquisition for Sierra Vista. I expect that one or two more items could get added to that list, but that's all I have at this time. Staff have discussed the possibility of whether we even need a meeting in October, but it's preferable with that project timeline to do the right-of-way acquisition if it pleases the board.
Thank you. Number eight, any comments from board members, commission members? Is there anybody out in the public that would like to address the commission? I guess no one's running up to the podium. So the next meeting is tentatively scheduled for 4:30 on Wednesday, October 11th, 2017, here in the Sierra Room at the Community Center, 851 East Williams Street. Nothing else on the agenda. I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second.